Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this first Sunday after Easter, the title of our message is DT and Me, especially based on our gospel lesson from John 20. Let me read selected verses for you. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." I invite you this morning to open up your bulletin and take out your blue insert. Upon it, you'll find your sermon outline as we consider our message, DT and Me. DT, Doubting Thomas. Don't be such a doubting Thomas. How many times have you either said those words or heard those words, either in humor or in seriousness? Don't be such a doubting Thomas. At a deeper level, though, this phrase, doubting Thomas, makes us deal with an area in each of our lives that causes us untold pain and untold sorrow. The inability to believe in something or trust someone. In our sermon today, we're going to talk about Thomas, the doubter. Let's call him DT. We'll see ourselves in Thomas, and that's why our sermon is entitled DT and Me. We'll hear the risen Lord Jesus when he first spoke to Thomas. And with Thomas, we will move from "I doubt it" to "Yes, Lord, I believe." Thomas, how could you doubt? I never used to have much sympathy for Thomas. How could he? He had known Jesus. He had listened to Jesus' voice. He had walked by Jesus' side. He had felt Jesus' touch. How could he? That's what I used to think. But today, I'm not nearly so quick to put Thomas down. How can I doubt? How can you doubt? Today, just 1 week after Easter, just 1 week after we celebrate his resurrection, doubt is already a companion. Doubt can come far too quickly for any of us. This Sunday is what some people call Low Sunday. I was telling the elders as we were praying, because on Easter Sunday, we couldn't find a place to sit everybody. On the Sunday after Easter, Low Sunday. Thomas's aren't here with the other disciples when Jesus has been raised from the dead. Doubts can be sprung up so quickly in all of our lives. Today, more than we want to admit, Thomas is our middle name. Oh, you look on your birth certificate, it probably does not say Nadine Thomas. Doesn't say Don Thomas. But Thomas is our middle name because we have doubts like Thomas did. Now, probably our doubts aren't the same as Thomas's. For most of us, we believe and trust in Jesus' resurrection. But our doubts are different. And they hurt us nonetheless. Our doubts are centered on things simpler than Easter, on things more mundane than the resurrection. Our doubts are focused on today. Our doubts are focused on things that are happening to us in the here and now, in our relationships, in our finances, with our children, with our spouses, with our work, with our own health. Be honest with yourself this morning. What are your areas of doubt? What are those areas in your life that cause you doubt and fear? What areas in your life do you have a hard time entrusting into the hands of Jesus? Our doubts and fears in these little things can lead us to doubts and fears in bigger ones. Questions like, where are you, God, in this mess? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Like Thomas, we need assurance. Yes, even 1 week after Easter. Listen to our text. 8 days later, the disciples were inside the house again, and Thomas was then with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came right through and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." We need to see the nail prints. We need to see the gaping spear wound. We need to hear our Lord say to us today, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem. I am with you." But wait. We've heard and seen such things just 1 week ago, Easter Sunday. And yet today, we have our doubts. Why? Because despite the resurrection gospel, despite the risen Lord, despite the Easter celebration, we sinners, only 1 week later, have been looking for assurances in all the wrong places. Hey, you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of trusting in worldly institutions? Well, work lets us down. Government lets us down. Our church and the people within her walls let us down. Hey, you, Thomas, are your doubts the result of trusting in other people? Well, our spouse lets us down. Our children let us down. Our friends let us down. We let ourselves down. And when our trust is put in any of these earthly directions, they fail us. And oh, these things will fail us. And then doubts rush into our hearts to fill the vacuum. And so then we ask, "God, where are you?" And "Why, God, why?" And "When, God, when?" Hey, you, Thomas, in the back. Are your doubts the result of looking for security in personal circumstances? In things like good feelings, lack of problems, constant good health, other people always liking you? While these things let us down, and they melt away as quickly as snow on a sidewalk after a whole day of plus 10 degree weather, and doubts come. And then we blame God. Where are you, God? And why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey, Thomas, you've been looking for human solutions, for temporary feelings, for quick fixes. Not at the nail prints. You haven't been looking at the nail prints. Hey, Thomas, that's not what the resurrection is all about. The nail prints and wounded sides of our Lord never give us that kind of insurance against the bumps and bruises of our life. The nail prints and wounded side of our Lord do not promise us lack of problems, constant good feelings, never-ending affection from others. But into a locked room, filled with disciples, filled with doubts and scared to death, our Lord Jesus comes. Did you hear the text? Right through the locked door, right through the walls, our resurrected Lord came. And he said to them, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem. I am with you." Into a doubt-filled And fear-locked life of Thomas, Jesus came and said to Thomas, "Peace be with you, Thomas. I love you, Thomas. I am with you, Thomas." Into the doubt-filled and fear-locked lives of each of us today, Jesus comes and says those same words, "Peace be with you. Yes, you. I am with you." Yes, Jesus still comes to Thomas's. Listen to the text. "Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' And Thomas fell down and answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed.'" John ends the account. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, you might have life in his name." Through the preaching and teaching of God's word, through his very body and blood in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, through the waters of holy baptism, the risen, victorious Jesus continues to come to us today. He comes to us that, according to the text, believing we might have life. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe, not in perfect institutions, not in perfect feelings, not in perfect health or relationships or lives with no troubles, but blessed are those who believe. Believe in a heavenly Father who has created us and takes care of us. Believes in a Son who has died and risen for us. Believes in the Holy Spirit who creates and nurtures faith in our heart that we might have life in Jesus' name. Jesus himself is the life." In other places in this Gospel of John, this is what Jesus says: "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." For Thomases like you and me, Jesus brings us life. He gives us the gift we need more than any other gift. He gives us the gift of himself. So into our locked rooms, right through our locked rooms, tightly locked with fears and doubts, comes our resurrected Lord today. And he says to you, "I love you so very much. Peace be with you. No matter what life throws your way, you can count on this, for it's a promise written in blood. I am with you. I'll never forsake you." Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." What is abundant life? Here's a list. What is abundant life? Abundant life is this: knowing that whatever life throws your way, you have a Savior who is by your side, and he will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what other people do. Abundant life is facing an unknown future with a confidence that declares, "I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future." Abundant life is knowing that in Jesus Christ, your worst sins are washed away and forgiven, so that you can claim the promise of Romans 8, verse 1, which says, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Abundant life is being part of a church family. A church family in which you are loved, in which you are cherished. A church family filled with people you can count on in time of need. A church family that gathers regularly together to feast on God's word and share in his supper and support and lift up one another. Abundant life is having the very Spirit of God in you that came to you through the powers of the waters of baptism. That Spirit of God that gives you the power so that you can say no to temptation. You can say no to sin. And you can say no to the lies and deceptions of the devil. Abundant life, finally, is the ability to lay your head on your pillow at night, knowing that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, if you should die before you wake, you can trust the Lord your soul to take. Now that's abundant life. And what is our response to our risen Lord that gives us this gift of such life? With Thomas, we come to the place where Jesus is. Good old DT in the gospel lesson for today tells us what to do and where to go. Thomas had his fears and doubts. But did you notice? Thomas did not remain an island unto himself. He went to the place where the disciples were gathered. And there where the disciples were gathered was Jesus with his hand, nail-pierced hands of love and his undying promise, "Peace be with you. I am with you." And while in the presence of the resurrected Jesus, Thomas's doubts so melted away that he fell before his Lord and he proclaimed these wonderful words, "My Lord and my God." Thomas himself shows us how crucial it is for us today to come to the place where Jesus is, to come to the place where Jesus comes to be with his disciples, to give us his good gifts, that place today we call the church. Especially in worship and the study of God's word, here are the places where Jesus comes to keep his promise when he said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I'm going to be in their midst." Now I'm going to quit preaching and start meddling. That's why you hear me say again and again as your pastor. That's why you hear me encourage you again and again, invite you and ask you to make a priority in your life of attending Bible class, of being consistent in worship, because these are the places Jesus comes to meet with Thomas's today. Do you want to deeply know the presence of God? Do you want to deeply know and experience the very power of God that will help you see you through the difficult times in your life? Do you want to really draw close to your Savior and know He was with you, that He is for you, that He has risen for you? Then come to the place where He surely is. And with Thomas, He will melt away your fears and doubts so that in faith you can say, like Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Now, after Thomas met the risen Jesus, his life was changed. His life had a new purpose. You, my friends, have met the risen Jesus. Let me ask you, what is your purpose in living? Thomas lived the rest of his life serving Jesus. Each of us, who by God's grace has put our faith in Christ, are to live the rest of our lives serving our Lord Jesus. Though the Bible is silent about it, church history tells us that doubting Thomas became the mighty Apostle Thomas. Good old DT, he made it. He brought the Christian faith to the country of India, was the apostle to India, and built the first Christian church there. And there in India, Thomas gave his life as a Christian martyr, willing to die rather than denounce his faith in his Savior. Thomas served Jesus with his last breath. Even the threat of his own death could not destroy his faith in the risen Jesus. My friends, Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's try that again. Jesus is risen. The gates of heaven are open wide. This is the truth of Easter. This is the truth that dispelled Thomas's doubts. This is the truth of God that dispels our doubts today, even 1 week past Easter. And all that is left for us to do is to join with Thomas, fall before our risen Lord, and say in faith, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. Thank you, DT, for teaching us this lesson today. In the name of Jesus, amen. He is risen. Let's worship our risen Lord with his offering and by signing the registration attendance pads in front of you in the pews.